Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. Hope you've had a good one. We're going to have another great discussion, as always. I want to introduce Greg Snyder is with us, first off, from Incognito Marketing, and I will have to go back into that story because I love that story. About welcome, Greg. Glad to have you on the show this morning.
Morning, Jeff. Good to be here.
And we're going to talk about marketing and digital presence, general plans in marketing with Greg's expertise. Before we get into that, let's cover a few of the cyber and business bites, as we always do. Never a dull moment. Probably the big one for our listenership today, and it came out earlier in the week. I think I mentioned last week about one of the security cameras from Nest that could be hacked if you didn't change the passwords on it. And people were getting into it and setting off alarms and talking to you over that. Well, Greg's laughing. He goes, yeah, I can't wait to have one of those in the house.
Yeah.
The home security system, the version of that from Nest and Google, it was discovered that it had a hidden microphone also built into the package. I don't know if you want to say they got caught or they just, their comment was, oops, that was an error, but it wasn't disclosed that that microphone was in that home security system. So if you have one of those, make sure you look up the latest online documentation and make sure that it's disabled. I'm not sure.
And make sure and say hello to whoever's listening.
Well, I'm not sure. Do you really disable it or not? But, yeah. You know, everybody needs to be aware that a lot of this Internet of Things stuff is easily hacked. You know, you have your Alexa already. Now you got a camera that can watch you in your house. And now there's another one that can listen to you. You really have to think about that. You know, do you want to put bugs in your own house? So just be aware of that one. And look it up online. Like I said, it's the Nest security system. Greg's shaking his head. He goes, yeah, where do I run out and
sign
buy one
up
of those? And put it in the house. Yeah.
I'm glad I did all my crazy stuff before cell phones came out.
The next one is Quadriga. This is the Bitcoin exchange, and we've talked about it on the program in the past couple of weeks. This is the Bitcoin exchange out of Canada. The CEO, they claim that this whole exchange was run on a laptop. He'd gone to India to set up an orphanage and passed away, unfortunately, and he was the only one that had the passwords. There's a lot of information coming out about this, and you'll find the more stories online and in more depth. But if you have had, if you have a Bitcoin wallet, you want to be watching this and who is your exchange. And Greg's already looking at me going, who do I have mine with? They have about 190 million outstanding that they can't get access to. And there's evidence coming out that this may actually be a gigantic Ponzi scheme. And you can read about it online. So, yeah, if you're using them, yeah, it's going to be an issue getting your money, but you want to follow up and be cautious. The whole cryptocurrency, it's getting interesting who the long-term players are, but it's like anything else. Buyer beware. Do your homework. Do your research. That's the big one. And for businesses, the next item is general security. And there's a group called CrowdStrike that was doing some research and how sophisticated some of the attackers are getting these days. It used to be take several hours to day to be able to hack into a system. Now there are groups out there that can get in and out in 10 minutes. And their recommendation is what they call the 1-10-60 rule. You have to be able to detect the intrusion within a minute. You have to be a full investigation and reaction within 10 and have everything locked down within the hour. That's a very, very wow. aggressive approach. You can do some of that with the newer hardware. If you have any questions, shoot me a note on the Business Week in Review website. I can answer that. We use one particular product that is fairly automated. It literally phones home every 2 hours to to get updates in security. So you can do some great work, and it's not an expensive piece of hardware.
Better than just unplugging.
Much better than unplugging. And how, yeah, it tells you when to unplug. So that's the sophistication that, that we're seeing, and you know, smaller businesses. I won't say small business because that's everybody's a business, but you need to be aware of it because size is irrelevant. They're looking for access to larger fish through your sites and bank accounts and everything else. So it's a big deal.
As he reaches for his wallet.
Yeah, well, no, actually, I'm getting text messages about it right now. But they're not intrusions, so that's good to see. Oh, we're going to talk about the domain thing when we come back from the break, and Greg kind of gets into some of the social media and things like that. There's another takeaway today about domains and ownership. We saw one this week where the company found out that they didn't own their domain. Now that's an issue. That's a big issue. We're going to be talking about that, but let's go to the quick break. We're going to be right back and talk with Greg Snyder of Incognito Marketing and get into the marketing side. You're listening to KRDO News Radio, the Business Week in Review. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. Again, happy Friday. You're listening to Business Week in Review. Greg Snyder is in the studio with me this morning. He's with Incognito Marketing. And give us the short version of that, and then we're going to dig into the marketing, because I really like that story, because I had never – marketing, you're supposed to be out there. But you were on the program, it's been a few months back, and you said what it really means.
Well, it's working behind the scenes to make you look good, to increase your sales. And if we do our job right, you'll never know we're there.
And that's just I love that line, and it's so true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true that – you know, when you've got those plans in place, you shouldn't be out in the forefront.
Yeah, and the plan is everything. Knowing where you're going.
Well, talk about a good lead-in there. Your first statement this morning in the prep meeting, I kind of put it away for, as far as a takeaway for all of our listeners. Why don't you dig into that?
Well, it's marketing planning and implementation, like a lot of things, is simple, but it's hard. It's hard because it requires a decision and discipline to carry it through. We have to discipline ourselves to invest time regularly to visualize with a long-range view away from daily distractions of running the business. And we need to include trusted advisors because none of us know everything.
Well, yeah, nobody's an expert. I always talk about that.
Well, we're all experts.
Yeah, well, yeah, just ask us. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a good point that, you know, you have to step away from the business because, you know, as you say, you want to work on the business and not in the business.
Yeah.
And it's too easy to get sucked into the daily drama.
Yeah. There are two books that I've drawn from and used for years. Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Successful People.
Yep.
And he talks about beginning with the end in sight, and that's really what this is about. You got to visualize in minute detail where you want to be in 10 years, 15 years, and then work backwards from there. And the other one is The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, and he talks about creating a system of systems that is... it's also a discipline and steps, organized steps. But the whole idea of that, if you take time away from your business, working in your business to work on your business, I'd say at least 10 hours a month, then you can get up to 30,000 feet and see what might be coming ahead, and you can see where you've been and what kind of effect you've had. You can see what's going on a daily basis. But the main thing is to crystallize this vision of where you want to be, what the business needs to look like in 10 years. How many locations do you want to have? How much gross profit? Do you want to start a new product or enter a new market? Do you want to dress the company up and sell it? What are your goals? And be very detailed and get it down in writing. Once you have that vision and clear definition in writing, then the work begins, because you've got to work backwards and figure out what are the steps that it will take to get that, to achieve that vision.
You know, that's a very, very good point, Greg, is set that end point and then work backwards. You know, so many of us think about, okay, what do I want to do next week or the week after? You know, it doesn't really set the plan. You do have to work backwards, and you go up to that 30,000 foot and see what's going on. You know, we've seen cases recently of businesses that everybody was working in the business, and all of a sudden, you know, disruptive, be it technology or, you know, distribution point came out, and it killed the business.
Yeah. Well, whoever had the best cassette tape player on the face of the earth, if they weren't watching what happened when CDs came out, they were sitting with a warehouse full of the best CD players cassette tape players on the planet.
Well, you know, and that's replicated. You know, you don't
over
rarely see
over.
CDs anymore.
No.
You rarely see USB sticks.
Yeah. Well, cars don't even have CD players anymore.
No. No. They have an auxiliary input and Bluetooth in it now.
Yeah.
You know, and most people have no clue.
Well, the trend is to get away from tangible objects and go to broadcast Bluetooth or something.
Something no like that. No wires required.
But back to the strategy planning, this working backwards, this is hard work. This is not easy. I'm very familiar with the manufacturing world, and Jeff and I were just talking. I was holding a paper cup, coffee cup in my hand, and said, at some point, someone had an idea to make 500 billion of these paper cups.
And they need a plan.
And so they had a cup in their hand, and they had to work backwards and come and do all the steps that it took and make sure that those steps were in the proper sequence so that they didn't get out of order. I was always confused when I did my own taxes because I'd get down to line 12 and they'd say, enter the total from line 32. But I wasn't there yet. And I thought, how do you do that?
We have a process issue here.
Yeah, a process issue. And that's what happens with marketing plans is, for one thing, people don't take, none of us, it's hard to take the time to work on our business and not be in it, putting out the daily brush fires and taking care of what seems, it's urgent, but it's not important. We spend most of our time taking care of things that won't matter next week and don't pay any attention to the things that will make a huge difference in 5 years. And
that's
what this plan is all about, and come up with specific, realistic, achievable steps and create a system of systems that is repeatable. And when employees come and go, it doesn't matter because you've got your system set up and you plug the new employees into the system, and it's a production line in a factory.
Well, yeah, and it goes back to business continuity. It's another facet of business continuity.
Yeah.
It kind of goes, you know, Rob Slee always talks about this as the owner. You want to be working on the $5,000 an hour payback rather than putting the paper in the printer.
Right.
You know, that's a big part of it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Tidbits for the listeners, how to work on that plan? Because you're absolutely right. It's hard to set the goal and then back up and say, okay, what is it that I need going forward now?
Well, everybody has their own way of doing this. I go through a ton of legal pads and throw a lot of stuff away. And I'll make outlines and think about a sequence of... Imagine you're a pilot and you're going to fly from Colorado Springs to Chicago. You don't take off without a flight plan. And before you take off, I don't know the sequence because I'm not a pilot, but I'm sure there's a, you go out to the plane and you...
Yeah, there's definitely a checklist.
There's a checklist, and that's in order in some certain sequence, and it has to be done that way. And before you do that, you probably have to file an official flight plan and tell them where you're starting from, where you're going, the time of day, and then you do the pre-flight, then you warm up the engine, then you are... I mean, there's all these sequences. And eventually you'll get to Chicago. But the other thing to note is that probably 80% of the time you're in the air, you're going to be off course. And you have to make adjustments for wind and elevation. The control tower is going to tell you different things. So you're constantly monitoring the results of your actions until you finally get to Chicago. And even when you see the runway, you still have a certain sequence of events that have to take place. So when you're when you have this visual of your business 10 years from now, and actually that's not that far in advance, but you have this picture, then you have to work backwards. If you want to have three locations, you say, okay, first I have to have one that works.
Now then you can replicate it.
Yeah, because if you spread out too fast, you can't support it, and you will replicate your mistakes.
It goes back to one of my lines I always used in the corporate world was, you know, no organization dies of starvation. In other words, sales. They die of indigestion in terms of planning and everything. So
yeah.
Well, we have to go to a break. Stay with us. We're going to come back and start talking about the sales process and how do you keep that business going. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. It is 9:27 and Friday morning. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening in this morning. Greg Snyder is the guest this morning from Incognito. You haven't run off yet?
No.
We've been telling information security stories over the break, and he's going to move to the mountains.
My eyes are so wide.
And again, just to touch on that subject, you just have to be wary, ask questions, change your passwords. And that was Greg's question. He says, how often do I change my passwords? And I said, well, as often, once a month, once a quarter, but at least change them off of your default.
Yeah, I go back and forth between my dog and my cat.
Well, you want to get a little more complex than that.
I figured... Dog one
and dog two. Yeah, that's a good password. No.
Okay.
Well, before the break, we were talking about working on your business rather than in your business and some of the plans, setting that endpoint and then working backwards. Well, a big part of that in the planning is, I'm stuttering. It's like I almost said sales and marketing together. They are not the same. I was a marketing person for a long time at a Fortune 10 company. Marketing is strategy. How do you reach them? Sales is the execution of that. And Greg covers both sides of that. I'm stealing some of your thunder, Greg.
Well, no, that's great. Go ahead. I'm going to drink some coffee. See how you do.
I'm in the test now. But we were talking about sales strategy. Once you get things put together, and you were talking about how many presentations and how much work goes into that. Talk a little about that.
Well, yeah, sales and marketing need to work together. Sales usually is a dedicated department or a person who implements or benefits from the marketing strategy. And the sales usually will have a pretty good idea that, for instance, they need to make 5 presentations in order to close a sale.
Yeah, it's not just a one-time presentation. You have to keep working on it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a numbers game where if you've got a list of 100 leads, you've got to talk to 5 of those leads before you make a sale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both. And I know some salespeople that count down their no's. They know they've got to get 4 no's before they make a sale.
Yeah.
And so they have a system. They know how to work it. That's what keeps them going. So, for instance, if you have to make 5 presentations to close a sale and you want 10 new sales per month, then you have to make 50 presentations per month.
That's a lot of work.
This is that working backwards and implementing a strategy. So how do we create the opportunity for them to make the 50 presentations in a month? And you have to do several things consistently. You have to create a system of systems. I've mentioned that before. The first thing you have to do is define your ideal customer. In my mind, that's somebody that pays full price, buys often, and doesn't have any drama.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a good point is, who is your target market?
Yeah.
And we pound that all the time.
I talk about fishing. If you want to go fishing, you need to know if you're going to fish for catfish or trout or marlin. And
there's different rigging
and different you go different places, you mm-hmm. use different bait. You know, what a catfish, what looks good to a catfish might not attract a marlin at all. So if you're not careful, you'd be out there and you, because not all sales are good sales.
That's a very key point.
You want to go for the profitable sales, the ones that buy full price, buy often, and have no drama. So you got to, if you know, see, I'm from Oklahoma and Texas. I got a free public education in Oklahoma and Texas. So anyway,
that was good. I like that.
This here is about working backwards. So you know what you're trying to achieve, and you plan your steps accordingly so that you're achieving your goal, not just activity, because we can all be busy. It's not hard to stay busy. It's hard to make money.
There's the key takeaway. Who are you investing in a sale? You really have to spend time looking at that.
Yeah, and you have to create the bait on the hook is the strategic marketing message, and that is an emotional appeal about to the, you know, if you're going to appeal to the catfish, that appeal is something different than the marlin, but it includes what makes you different from your competition, and most importantly, how you solve the problem of the catfish.
Exactly, and that's the competitive advantage.
Yeah,
right there.
First of all, that you know what their problems are, and that
fill
you
a need,
and that you understand well enough to solve the problem, and that's your strategic marketing message. Then the message, people get confused here, and Jeff and I have talked about this before. The message is everything. Everything else is a delivery system for the message. Your website, your social media, you know, whatever it is, a puppet show, whatever's appropriate for the catfish.
Well, and that's a very good point. Talk a little bit about that, because a lot of people will say, well, I need a website. Let's put up the website. Well, so what? What's the message in the website?
Well, I put everything to the so what test. You just did. And, you know, when I first get involved with the company, a lot of times on their website, if it's a manufacturing company, they might have a page about us, and it'll be that they have 50,000 square feet of building and 7 drill presses and 6 CNC machines and on and on and on. And, and I put it to the so what test. You know, I could go out and rent a building and fill it with equipment, but you would not want to hire me to make anything.
Good point. Yeah.
So what makes you different? What makes you recognize the problem of your catfish customer and know, and how do you tell the catfish that you know how to solve his problem?
And you see a lot of websites out there or social, you know, you were going to talk about social media in a minute as well, but you see all that on websites and you go, so what?
Yeah. Well, I see social media posts and ads of all kinds where people say, oh, we'll design a new website in 48 hours, or, you know, we can have it, you know, here's a before and after. And I even met with a client last week, a new client, and she wanted to have a new website because she wasn't happy with hers. And I went through my 12-page intake form.
I've seen that questionnaire.
And she said, wow. The other guy never asked me any of this. He just said, give me some words and pictures and I'll put it together. Well, that's a website, technically speaking, that she has a website. But you only have 3 to 5 seconds on the homepage to tell people that you are speaking to them, you understand their problem, and that there's something in it for them so that they stop and dig deeper and call you and hand you a check.
I mean, that's so true. You know, and as we say, you have to create the pull on the rope. You can't push on the rope.
No.
The rope being a sail.
Yeah. So back to, you know, to earn the right for your salespeople to make 5 presentations so they can get a sale, you have to have, number one, this strategic marketing message that's appealing on an emotional level to whoever you're going after. And then you need to set up a system of a schedule, a plan, so that you create new content for the website every week. You do new posts on social media once a week. You do all of these things.
And that's a key point, because you have to have that. Or I'll go to the website, and I have such a short, you know, attention span these days from all of that. It's like, so what?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and finish up with Greg. He has some interesting points and talking about in-house employees reaching out, experts. Don't create all this in the basement by yourself. It's a big thing, but we'll be right back. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. It is 9:45 on Friday morning. Well, welcome back, everybody. Again, we're talking with Greg Snyder of Incognito Marketing and marketing strategy, and how we kind of finish that up. And you had a great takeaway for our listeners in the break about all this strategy. And talk about that, all those pages versus really focusing on things.
Well, I found in my, because I'm getting old and my attention span is short and my give a damn level is kind of low sometimes, I try to run my life by putting everything on a topic on one side of one sheet of paper. So
an executive summary.
Yeah. None of this is brain surgery or new ideas. It's like Jeff says, execution. It's the discipline, the decision to do it, and the discipline to implement it. And if you get too many things going, you get lost.
Well,
you get out in the weeds. It's like hitting out in the rough on the golf course.
It's a good analogy. Is you can have 50 pages in the strategy, but you can get lost reading through it. You may need some of that. Nothing wrong with that. Oh. But condense it to a single page that really talks about the strategy.
Yeah. So, for instance, you might have a bulleted list of what you do. Like number one would be create one new content item for the website every week.
Well, yeah, and you said a website is never finished.
No.
That was a key point.
Yeah, because the market changes, your capabilities change, what you have on the website. You find out the bait, you know, the catfish really isn't that excited about the bait, and you got to chuck it over.
You must have been doing a lot of catfishing back in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know that well.
Yeah. They tried to talk me into noodling, but I didn't have the nerve for that. Anyway, look it up, noodling. So you have your bullet points, then you update the homepage every month, then you create one new post for social media every week based on the new content for the website. So you have a strategy and a plan that is all tied together and include sales in this so that they know what's going on. Tell them when you update and what you updated, and if you have a special or you're pushing something, or if you got a really stupid product that's not selling or losing money, find a way to get rid of it and break even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully break
possible,
even.
Or maybe use it as a loss leader or something, but have a plan and a strategy and have it in writing and have it on one side of one sheet of paper and make adjustments while you're flying to Chicago so you stay on course and keep your eye on the goal.
That's so true, you know, and we're talking about websites, but this also flows into social media, the social sites, and that's probably more so, isn't it, Greg, that, you know, that is such a current event-driven sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's even more than a website.
And to generate new content that's appealing to your audience, it's kind of a good news, bad news thing, because if you create 10 or 15 really good posts, you can just repeat them every week, and we all have such short attention spans. We don't know. We've been told the same thing over and over.
That's probably true for me, yes.
Plus, a few years ago, there were some studies done and by the Direct Mail Marketing Association. You remember when you used to mail things out?
Oh, yeah. That was back in the Jurassic period.
Dinosaurs
yeah.
roamed the earth. But anyway, they did a study, and psychology is still true. They found that you don't get any measurable results until you have touched the person seven times with a message.
That's right.
And so there's repetition is good. It's not bad. About the time you're sick of it is about the time your market will take notice.
Well, and this kind of gets to the general advertising strategy as well.
Yeah.
You know, in tough times, You know, if 19 starts to feather out, so to speak, you know, you still have to keep it up because you know, we had talked a couple of weeks ago. People will say, well, I haven't heard from Greg in a while. He must have gone out of business.
Yeah.
That's the worst possible thing you can do.
Yeah. You've got to have name recognition and you got to keep dust in the air and throw as big a net in the ocean as you can because, you can target if you're spearfishing, that's great. And you may or may not be, you probably get one, but you probably need more than one to feed your family.
That's so true.
So throw a big net and see what you catch.
Yeah, and then decide, you know, what makes good customers and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's part of that sales funnel.
And be willing to fire a customer. If they don't match, you know, if they beat you up on price or they buy once a decade or if it costs you more to serve them than you make from them.
Well, there's a key point. Yeah. Are you cash positive? That's not a very good customer.
That's the drama thing.
Yes, that is so true. Well, as we start to wrap up, First off, thank you, Greg. It's always
a great
discussion about marketing. It's a passion of mine.
I like it too.
You better.
Yeah.
Give us some contact information. You know, and this goes, one of the points was, don't develop the marketing strategy in the basement by yourself.
Right.
Bring in people. Consultants are always gets me going, but hire some people that ask hard questions and test that strategy.
And include your potential customer.
Very true.
Because you need to find, you can't imagine what's going on in the mind of the catfish.
That's
unless
right.
You're a catfish.
Mm-hmm.
So ask the catfish.
Ask him. Get out there and ask your customers or potential customers.
In person. Go visit them.
Absolutely.
Talk to them on the phone.
Give us some contact information.
Phone.
If they want to talk to you.
Phone number is 719-338-5237. Web address is incognitomarketing.com.
Outstanding. Greg, thank you again.
Thank you, Jeff. Always a good discussion.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. You've been listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.